We are wrapping up a little mini series entitled Acts 29. The basis of it is, so what is the church supposed to be all about? And in Acts 1, verses 1 to 8, Jesus lays out before he ascends into heaven, because it's post-resurrection, there's three things he wants to talk to his disciples and his followers about. There was 120 of them in the upper room. And there's three things he wants his followers to anchor to. Three things. Boom. One was the kingdom of God. He says that in Acts 1:4. He talked to them about the kingdom of God. Very important. And see, one of the things you have to realize when someone is just about ready to exit and they have something to say, if somebody's on their deathbed, they say something, usually it's the most critical thing for them that they want you to grasp and don't forget. And Jesus talked to them about the kingdom. Don't forget the kingdom. It's our bullseye. Number two was, wait until you're empowered by the Spirit. It's this thing that the church will only be the church, will only move when it's under the power of the Holy Spirit. It depends. We have to be people that are dependent on that. And we see the Spirit both in the supernatural, when that stuff is happening, but also when it's painful, when it's hard, when we're going through suffering. The Holy Spirit is just as present there as he is when you know, healings are taking place or there's people who are beginning to follow Jesus. And then I want us to shift to this next one, which is found in Acts 1:8. And how I want to begin this one today is there was a cookbook I wanted to get, and it was a bigger one, and it's entitled The Essentials of Classic Italian Cooking, and the author is Marcella, I'm not sure you pronounce the last name, Hazan, something like that. Doesn't matter. And the reason I wanted it is because it gets high ratings, and it just says not only does she give recipes, but she explains why she does what she does. She starts her book with the first section being the fundamentals of Italian cooking. And this is what she writes. She says, flavor in Italian dishes builds up from the bottom. It is not a cover. It is a base. In a pasta sauce, a risotto, a soup, a fricassee, a stew, or a dish of vegetables, a foundation of flavor supports, lifts, points up the principal ingredients. To grasp this architectural principle central to the structure of much Italian cooking and to become familiar with the three key techniques that enable you to apply it is to take a long step toward mastering Italian taste. So what does that have to do with the third thing we have to anchor to? Do we have to anchor to Italian cooking? Maybe. No. What I want you to focus on, because this has to do with the third thing that Jesus said. Jesus told the disciples that you're going to be filled with the Holy Spirit, and he says this in Acts 1:8. No, oh, I missed it. Where is it? Oh, I didn't put it in. That's what it. Oh, Scott, yes. Should have put it on there. Acts 1:8. I have it right here. Hey, I am prepared. I'm like a Boy Scout, just in case. It says this, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. You will be my witnesses. That's what you're going to be. My witnesses. And that is significant there. Now, what has that got to do with the quote I read to you? Because I want you, the words from Marcella in her cookbook, I want you to focus on and filter everything I say through are these words that she writes that builds up from the bottom. It is a base, it's a foundation. Supports, lifts, points up the principal ingredients. Those are the things I want you to think about as I talk to you now about what it means about to be a witness in this world. And this is critical here, okay? Now, what is a witness? I know full well what a witness is from my previous occupation. A witness basically confirms something that is true. Okay? That's what a witness does. A witness has seen it or heard something, and they can confirm that what was said or what was seen or what happened is actually true. That's what a witness does. A witness, it's also experiential knowledge. In Scripture, in the New Testament, the word they use, here's the interesting thing. The Greek word that is used, it's martus, which is where martyr comes from. That's where it's rooted in, right? That's where it's rooted in. Because people die for their faith because of their testimony, right? Because of what they have said, and they've died for it. Anyway, the witness, so it's not just about knowing. Being a witness isn't just about knowing about the Bible or knowing about Jesus or knowing about how to become saved, as we say. It's that you have experiential knowledge, meaning you've encountered Jesus. See, we think we have to have everything peeled, we got to peel off everything to people if we share our faith. No, just tell them. You know who gave one of the best examples in Scripture in the Gospels is that blind man who was made to see, who got healed of his blindness. And they asked him, what happened? I don't know. I was blind once, but now I see. That was his testimony. That was his witness. Well, who did that? Well, this is Jesus guy. You know, that's what being a witness is. That's what a witness is. You tell about what, when asked the question, why do you go to church? What do you say? Why is Jesus your rabbi? Why him? You explain why. Witnesses, as you read through Acts, they took that to heart about being a witness, and you hear that in their language. In Acts 2:32, it says, God raised Jesus from the dead, and we are all witnesses of this. That's what Peter is saying. In Acts 3:15, I believe it's Peter again who says, you killed the author of life, but God raised him from the dead, and we are witnesses of this fact. They are standing there before people, before leaders, and saying, we saw this. We've witnessed it. We are confirming what is true. You can take our word for it. And then you go further on down to Acts 10, verses 39 down to 42, and it says, and we apostles are witnesses of all he did throughout Judea and in Jerusalem. They put him to death by hanging him on a cross, but God raised him to life on the third day. Then God allowed him to appear not to the general public, but to us, whom God had chosen in advance to be his witnesses. We were those who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead, and he ordered us to preach everywhere and to testify. Testifying is what a witness does. That Jesus is the one appointed by God. That's what being a witness is. Now, the tricky part. The tricky part is, how do you be a witness? How do you do that? What does a witness look like? What does a witness sound like? How do you share with people? Does the Bible even teach us that? Yes. Who's your model? Jesus is your model. Jesus is what you follow. One of the best, if you want to know how should I be a witness, is to go to Paul's letter in Colossians chapter 4 and verses 3, 4, 5, and 6. That explains very clearly to you how to be a witness to people. And here's what it says. This is from the NIV, New International Version. And this is Paul, who's in prison in Rome, and this is what he writes. And pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I am in chains. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly, as I should, and be wise in the way you act toward outsiders, Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. I hope you got all of that. Because that's very important, how we engage with people who are outsiders, for people who do not follow the Christian faith. And it doesn't matter what religion, or if they're atheist or agnostic or anything. Paul gives instructions here. You look through Acts, you watch how they treat people. They treat them with honor. You watch, pay attention in Scripture, how people, how believers, be them from the Old Testament times or New Testament, how they talk to kings, how they talk to governors, emperors, how they address them. You look at, you know, Daniel and how he addressed the various emperors, right? The kings, oh king, they gave honor all the time, all the time. Very respectful. That what you, and now one of the key phrases in Paul's passage there is, let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt. That has to do with what I read to you from the Essentials of Italian Cooking about flavor. Let your conversation with people be flavorful for them. Okay? Let it be seasoned with grace. Salt in Paul's time preserved, and it enhanced the flavor. Does our conversations enhance the flavor? Does it enhance the flavor of who Jesus is? Does it enhance the flavor of that person? Does that person feel lifted up in our conversation, or do they feel a little bit lower as we talk to them, as we engage with them? This is vitally important. When Jesus said, you will be my witnesses, really important how we are witnesses and how we witness, because it speaks volumes to people who have a question and they want to know, how are we to talk? Or what is this all about, this Christian faith? Now, I many times will refer to The Message, which is written, it's Eugene Peterson who has taken the Bible, the entire Bible, and he has put it in language, in the vernacular that we understand today. It's the earthy type of language. Now, if you're wondering, is that accurate to the Greek? A lot of Greek scholars say Eugene's is probably the most accurate because it's not polished. That's what they say, it's not polished language. It's gritty. That's how it's described. And here is what that passage that I read to you in Colossians, here is from The Message. Don't forget to pray for us, that God will open doors for telling the mystery of Christ, even while I'm locked up in this jail. Pray that every time I open my mouth, I'll be able to make Christ plain as day to them. Use your heads as you live and work among outsiders. Don't miss a trick. Make the most of every opportunity. Be gracious in your speech. The goal, and this is about the seasoning. This is where he writes, season, make sure your conversation is seasoned with salt, what Paul says, what we write. This is actually what it really, how we understand, we would understand it. The goal is to bring out the best in others in a conversation, not put them down, not cut them out. That's what Paul is saying to us when we talk to people. When you talk to, I don't care what religion, pick your religion, who you're talking to. Make the goal in your conversation as you share with them is to bring out the best in others. That's what it's for. That's what we are to do. That's what we're called to do. And I love how, what, you know, if Paul, if you could point his emphasis that we have, that we're to look for in when we witness opportunities. Pray for them. Say, God, if I have an opportunity today, help me to be sensitive enough and slowing down enough that I see I have an opportunity here. And it's not an opportunity to get a notch on the belt, or it's an opportunity maybe just to share what Jesus has done. It's just look, be wise, right? And be very thoughtful of what you say to people. But opportunities, and Paul says that in here, look for them, make the most of them, pray for them, you know, very important. The other one, speak plainly. Don't use what has been, you know, termed ghetto language, right? Meaning our Christianese language that we get so used to. And every group of people has a ghetto language, right? If you're, whatever your specialty is, whatever you work at, there's a ghetto language for it. You know, and Tim Windsor on Friday night there, he spoke about, he wasn't on this subject, but he was on the whole thing of our language, the language of the gospel. And that we need to keep it very plain in the sense of so that people understand. That's how Jesus spoke. He spoke in a very, Jesus identified with people, right? He talked about fishermen, and he spoke about being fishers of men. And he used what they could understand. Speak plainly. Just tell what your experience with Jesus has been. Tell what you know, right? The other one, and here's so true. Actions always speak louder than your words. People are watching you. Maybe not intentionally watching, but they notice. Okay? They watch. They observe. They look at how you are at work. Are you, you know, do they see one thing, you know, on a Sunday and then at work you're something else? Because if it happens, they write it off. They write it off, right? I've seen it before. And it's actions speak louder than words. Gracious speech, that's grace. Gentle speech, be good. Be nice, right? That's what we're called to be. Look, I'll get to that later. And the goal, bring out the best in others. That's what we want to do, is it not? Do we not want to bring out the best? I want to honor others in what we say, right? We want it. We can do that. Because you know what? We like all of this, right? We want people to speak that way to us. We want people to honor us. Because it feels good, doesn't it? It feels good. You may not agree with how I think or that, but if you honor and respect me, it goes so much further. It goes so much further. Be genuine. Be sincere. Right? So important. So important. But I want to bring it home now. So quiet here. You can laugh. Look. We are here in truth and reality. We are not here for ourselves. We are here because if you're a follower of Jesus, you're an insider, so to speak. You're part of the family. And so therefore, it puts you automatically on mission. You're on a mission. We're on mission now. And I want to talk about us as we gather here on a Sunday. And there's just a few things to mention, just a few things. Because here's what's on my heart. Now, get a load of this. So what's on my heart is the whole thing about... and as soon as I say this word, everybody's going to have a certain image. But let's just lose the image. Is evangelism. Is reaching out to our neighbors here. Is reaching out to those who are our friends. Now, I say it's on my heart, and I go, why is it on my heart? Because my gift mix, not an evangelist. Okay? I'm not one to go. I'm not, you know, that image that we have. But I hear Jesus saying, too, that's not the image I have either for you. But it's the whole thing about looking outwards, about seeing others who come into my life, how I interact with them and how I treat them. That is so important. And we have to do this as a church. We have to be like, we have to be, have eyes out, all hands on deck for this. One of the things we have to consider is this, okay? When we were in the, I don't know how many here were at the Preston High School when we used to hang out there and worship. And it was a huge, huge, what they call it, a cafetorium, I think the name was. I think it was called cafetorium, actually. It was a cafeteria at sometimes, but a auditorium, anyway, whatever. It was a big room. And so we could have a lot, we had our chairs, but then at the very back of the place, the gym, was, you know, people could stand back there, and I remember there was vending machines, and they would chat, but you wouldn't hear them if you were sitting in the seats because they're so far back. But we carried that culture over to here, and now we're in a little closet, and the thing is, when you chat back there, we can hear it up here. Here's the worst thing, though, is if you're visiting a church for the first time, I don't know. If let me tell you how I am. If I visit a church and I'm just going there just to visit, guaranteed I'll either sit at the back or I'll sit midway, maybe if I'm feeling bold. I won't sit up at the front unless they're escorting me up there. And then I'll probably, no, they won't have to drag me, but it'll be like, you just lost me. if I was a potential to join, it would be no. Why? You know, I don't know. Because I don't want to feel pressured. I don't like feeling pressured. I don't want to be centered out. You know, I know some churches, they have designated parking spots for visitors. If I went to a church that had a designating parking spots for visitors, I would not park there. I wouldn't park there because I don't want to be pegged, right? That's just me. It's nothing, you know, that's just my hang-ups, that's all. But that's an honorable thing to do, though, so that you don't have to park waste, you know, down on the street or somewhere and have to walk. But I'd rather walk than be parked in the pink square or something like that. I don't need that. When guests come in, when someone comes in for the first time, it's been very difficult for them to probably get here. Unless they're extroverted and just love, the bigger the crowd, the better for them. It's probably very hard for them, okay? Because when I go to a church for the first time, I'm thinking about it, processing about it as I'm getting ready to go. I'm thinking about it as I'm driving there. I'm thinking about what I'm going to experience. I'm thinking about. Yeah, I'm overthinking. That's me. But I don't want to be, right? I'm a difficult person, right? I'm one of those difficult guests. I want to be noticed, but don't notice me too much, right? There's that fine line. And it's really, all I want is sincerity is from people. That's all I want. I want sincerity. And what I've heard, and we Chris and I, and you know, we get feedback and stuff. It trickles in usually. It doesn't come. It just trickle. But if you're sitting back there, and I don't know, I haven't sat back there. I don't sit back there. Is if it's chatter, it's hard to even focus. And if that's the case, if you're visiting, that's not good. That's a thumbs down. I'm a pretty bit of a pain when it comes to pleasing, right? Because all you have to do is sort of like fail on one critical thing, and it's usually like customer service for me is big in a store. Okay, if you good customer service, you got me. Bad customer service, I'm out. Okay, I don't even know what I was buying, but I walked into a store once. And the guy was so all over me, right? And it was like, ugh. And then he did the faux pas, which was like, it doesn't matter if you're giving it away. I'm not taking it. He goes, oh, yeah. Hey, I really like your jacket. It's really cool. And it's like, ugh, really? Like, first, it's not cool. It's just a jacket. And don't say those things, right? Just be you. Be nice. Right? When we went and we made a major purchase, a number of this goes over a decade ago. We were looking at hot tubs, and we went to this one little store, and they were just so, hi, how you doing? Good to have you here. Yeah. You want to look around? If you have any questions, let us know. Okay. And we were looking around and asking questions. And the guy goes, you know what? Like he said, there's a lot of little bells and whistles that you can get. Stick with your budget. Don't worry about the bells and whistles because you won't use them anyway. It's like, no pressure here. Like there is like, oh, okay. You know, asked about a different manufacturer. Oh, they're good. They're good. Okay. And don't you want me to buy from you? Like, no, but they're good. Like, we have a good product. We like our product, but, you know. And it was just, it was so real. We ended up buying from them because there was no pressure. He was just being sincere. He was so good, though, in all of our dealings with them. They also dealt in HVAC, you know, the air conditioner and furnaces and all that. They were so good that when our furnace calfed, I just called him up and said, we need a new furnace. And he said, yeah, okay, I can do that. You should get a few other quotes, though. Well, I'd like you to do it. Well, he said, yeah, okay, but get a few other quotes. Give me a call back just to make sure. Okay. So I got a couple other quotes, called him back, said, I want you to do it. And I just had him do it. Why? He was so good, so real, right? What's my point? My point is, I want us to be, we have to be so pleased to have anyone here and do our best to honor them, to help them navigate around here. This isn't, we did a safety audit with ANCC, Allison Neighborhood, because now that they're renting here, they have to do a safety audit. And it was about to do with lighting and signage. And at the end of it, I came to the realization, we sign and light not for new people who are new, it's just for ourselves. We don't do it intentionally. But it's like, if this is the first time you're coming onto our property, how do you know where to even go? Right? We have to, gotta get out of my bubble. It's like, Scott, smack, what are you doing? And so it's wanting to be, because we want to be with the hands and the feet of Jesus. And we want to model that. We want everything we do an expression of who Jesus was. And Jesus made it so easy to come to him. I read in Luke 15, it starts off with that many times notorious sinners and tax collectors came to listen to Jesus. It's like, wow. Wow, awesome. What was it about Jesus that was so attractive? Well, I think he honored every person. And that's what I want us to be too. And you know what? As far as I'm concerned, anybody is welcomed here. Anybody. I don't care if they're atheist, agnostic, Jewish, Muslim, Wiccan. I don't care. Why? Because they have a story that got them there to some way. They got there somehow. I need to hear their story. I need to honor them. I need to respect them. Doesn't mean I shift what I believe or that, but I need to honor them. I need to treat them as Jesus treated me. I remember where I came from. I flipped God the finger and said, I don't care if I go to hell when I was 17. I won't go into that story. But he got my attention. And it wasn't by pounding on me and smacking me. He came and he loved me when I most desperately needed it. And he broke me. And from then on, as far as I'm concerned, and as I read scripture, love is wins. Love does it. Love is the foundation. And that, I'll get that. Love is the foundation. It's everything. It's everything. Can't shift away from it. And I want us to be as hospitable as we possibly can to people. And when you're going out in your day-to-day life, be hospitable to people. I want to change things. I want to change my attitude towards people. Right? No, we don't even get Jehovah's Witness coming to our door. I don't know why. I don't know if they don't like our neighborhood or what. But I don't want to hide. I don't want to not answer. I want to answer. I want to talk to them. They've done it. But they don't come.
but I want to be that way. I want to be as easy with people as Jesus was. I want to be like Paul, who could go into the Areopagus in Athens and speak to philosophers and that about their many gods with honor and respect. That's what I want to do. That's what I want to be. When I read on all the different social media and blogs of different believers who are angry and want this, and I'm just so tired of anger. Just so tired of it. Just tired. I was having breakfast with one of my brothers, and they were upset with something that had been posted online by one of our family members, and they were going to go at them. Yep, tell them. And I'm surprised, and he said to me, "I'm surprised you haven't yet." And this is what I said. I said, "Well, here's why I would won't. I'm 56, I said. I only have X number of years left. I don't want to spend them being angry. I just don't. In my day, I only have so much energy given to me, and I showed him my glass of water. How am I going to spend that? I can either spend it being angry, or I can spend it choosing love." And I said, "You know what? I'm going to love, because I know that will win. I know that will win at some point. Love always breaks down the barriers. It always does. It melts hearts." And I said, "I can't be angry. Can I point it out if the conversation comes up and we can chat? Sure. But at the end of the day, I'm going to honor the person." And I said, "Sorry, I can't do it. I don't want to be angry. Don't want to be." Love wins, guys. Love wins. I entitled this Reflections of Jesus. That's what we're called to be. Reflect Jesus. And Jesus was amazing. The only people Jesus tap danced on were the religious zealots that put heavy burdens on people, that weighed people down. That's the only people he had an issue with. He had no issues with anyone else, but with them, bang, yeah, he took the whip out for them, right? But for others, he opened up. He ate with them. He hung out with them. He talked with them. He was their friend. Beautiful, beautiful. That's what we're called to be as a church. Those three things: be about the kingdom, bringing the kingdom, announcing the kingdom. Let's be empowered by the Holy Spirit, and let's be reflections of Jesus for Jesus. We're His witnesses. His witnesses. We testify about His goodness. We talk about Him. We model it. Our life. We realize our life is the best testimony going. So we can do that, right? You with me? I don't like doing that because what are you going to say? No? You could. That's okay. That's okay. Okay. Okay, let's go into some ministry time. If I could have some ministry people available. And a reason I want to, there's one thing. While we were worshiping there, I believe all of us could ask, "Lord, is there a word you have me to give to somebody that you would want me to give that's going to either bring healing or correction or, encouragement, strength, and comfort?" That's what Paul says that a word should do. And I think if you ask, he'll tell you. So I asked, and the image, clear image I got, and I don't know if there's anybody here who's suffering this, but I think, right leg, I don't think this. What I saw was like the calf down right through the bottom of the foot needs healing. That. If that's you, God wants to heal that today. He wants to heal that, okay? So I don't know. I just say that to you. but it was very clear. It was crystal clear in my mind. I was like, oh, well, don't know what that even is. Don't even know what that is. The other thing, too, and sometimes, you know, you have words, personal words for people. I got one earlier. When was it? 3 days ago, I forget. But Mike, for you, the Lord said you're with your swimming and stuff that you've been doing, because you're one of those sharks, right? That while that for you was fun, like good, and it is good, there's an ulterior intention of doing that, that he's built into you, a thing of discipline, and there's something that has been planted in you. There's been like a seed. I saw very clearly a seed planted in you that he's put there. That he's behind all of this. He's a secret operative there that you don't know is at work in your life. So that's just for you. Okay, so let's stand. Let's stand. Get the blood flowing through our bodies and let's all together. Let's ask for the Holy Spirit to come and minister to us. To come and minister. That he is this close. He is this close. What is it you seek? What is it you're looking for? He is this close. That close. He's just so close. So, Father, Lord, we thank you. We come here, Lord, as people who are witnesses of your love. We have encountered it. There is a time we can go back. There was that, maybe that first encounter, but even, Lord, even we mark dates on by our first, by a decision or by a specific encounter. But the truth be known, Jesus, is that long before then, you had your eye on us and you were slowly wooing us. You were slowly bringing us to you. Slowly bringing us. You were ever so gentle. You were ever so nice as you drew us to you. And then finally, Lord, we said, yes, we want to be a follower of you. We want to follow you. And where you go, we want to go. And so, Lord, we know that we have those moments, Lord. We are witnesses. And I just commission all of you as you go about your day-to-day life to be those witnesses Jesus has called you to be. In your workplace, in your family, in your home. That's one of the most important places you can be a witness, guys, is in your house, in your home, with your spouse, with your kids, with a wider family. Also, I bless you in your workplace, wherever you work, if you work outside of the home, that as people watch you, you don't have to be loud in words, you don't have to be proselytizing. But you can proselytize with your actions, with the decisions you make. If you're an employer, how you treat your employees. If you're an employee, how you serve your boss, how you, your supervisor, the CEO, whatever. How you live speaks volumes to people. Because remember, as Peter wrote in his letter, he wrote to foreigners in a strange land, okay? And you are destined, you are made for the kingdom. You are kingdom people. That's what you are. You're a kingdom person, kingdom eyes. We do things the king's way. That's how we do it. We can love our enemies. Why? Because Jesus says, love your enemies. Right? We can turn from when violence is done to us, we don't retaliate. We don't do that. We don't retaliate with violence. We bless. We bless. That's our weapon. Our weapon is blessing. Our weapon is love. Our weapon is praying for. Our weapon is helping. Our weapon is that parable of that Samaritan who knelt down and looked after the wounds of that beat up person, that beat up Jewish man who was just thumped right out. And that's what we're called to. That's who we are. We're kingdom people. And so, Father, I just thank you for your presence that's here. And I thank you for loving us. I pray right now, Lord, again, would you fill us? Drink him in right now. Drink him in. Drink him in. Breathe deep. And as you breathe in, as you inhale, receive the Holy Spirit. Remember I said last week, it gives the Father great pleasure to give you the Holy Spirit. Breathe them in. Breathe them in. And let your exhalations be expressions of that love that he's poured into you.
in and out, in and out. Father, we thank you. We thank you, Lord. And so if you're looking for prayer, if you have something you want healed, come for prayer. Well, I've been up 10 times, Scott. Okay. Make it 11 times. It doesn't matter how many times. We continue to come. We press in, we press in. We be like that woman that pushed through the crowd. 12 years she was suffering. And again, she continued to try. She continued to push. 12 years later. And bang. Healed. Amazing. Amazing. Thank you, Father. We're just going to stay in this place. Come up to the front for prayer again. And you know what? We're just going to melt away from here. Okay? So if you need to leave, you just leave quietly. That's all. As people are getting prayer and ministry. Bless you.